Welcome to Keeping 100 Radio. I'm your host, Lissy Pointer, type 1 diabetic, certified health coach, personal trainer, and founder of Needles and Spoons Health and Wellness. Inside this podcast, you'll find the real and raw conversations around diabetes management, including the lessons that we don't learn in our endo's office, my best tips and trainings, and conversations from the experts that I trust inside the community so that you can create more predictability in your diabetes management and feel empowered while doing so. Let's dive in.
You guys all found my Instagram story yesterday, so amusing slash concerning, and I swear I've never had this many replies or views on an Instagram post or on an Instagram story. And what I find most ironic about it is that it all had to do with my upcoming colonoscopy. If you don't know, I live with Crohn's disease. I was diagnosed about 6 years ago, and I've been in remission for about 5 years. So my last scope, we're going to use that word instead, was 5 years ago in 2019. So when you live with Crohn's, you have to get screened every few years when you're first diagnosed. And then after about 10 years, at least the recommendation from my doctor was to get screened every year. Now, I'm going on year 5 since my last screening, so hence he's like, hey, you should probably book this for the spring so that we can make sure that everything's still good, you're still in active remission, even though my symptoms are good, my blood work looks good, just as an extra precaution, especially because we have found out that colon cancer we have now a family history of it. So yeah, just making sure everything is good, which everybody should make sure that they're good. I know that the recommendations for screening is a little bit higher now, like the age recommendation, but I'm sure you may have seen my TikTok is full of it on my For You page. People are getting diagnosed younger and younger. All to say, my doctor this past fall said, hey, you should go get screened, get your colonoscopy this spring. So I made the phone call yesterday. I'm like, okay, I haven't gotten the phone call to make the appointment, so I'm just going to go ahead and set it up because we have a crazy summer coming up and we're going on April, so I should get this figured out. I made the phone call and I get a call back from the medical assistant at my doctor's office, and she sets me up with the date and time, and then, you know, she starts saying, going through my prescriptions, making sure that they're all up to date, and she says, oh, you're on Humalog, like you're on insulin. I said, yes, confirming that. And she goes, okay, so like how often do you take that? I said, I'm on an insulin pump. I get it all day, every day. And what she says to me is, okay, you're going to have to stop your insulin 1 week before your screening, before your colonoscopy. And I just like pause for a second. I'm like, I'm sorry. And she said, you have to stop it 1 week before your colonoscopy. And again, this is not my first rodeo doing this. I have been through this before. I had no issues taking my insulin. Of course, the day before absolutely sucks because you're on a clear liquid diet. So you're really limited to those like no carb to just fast acting carb foods. So your blood sugars tend to go like a lot lower. So first of all, it absolutely sucks. You're starving, but you still need your insulin. And I was like, no. I flat out said, no, I'm not doing that. I will die. And I was very blunt with it. And she just paused. And I was like, I'm not doing that. I need to take my insulin dependent. Now, I don't think that any medical assistant should be giving this advice to anybody. Because whether you're type 1, type 2, if you're insulin dependent, you're insulin dependent. So she just goes, let me check. So I'm like, you do that. And I sit on hold for a few minutes. And she comes back and she goes, okay, you'll have to talk to your endocrinologist. And I'm like, okay, that's fine. That was my plan anyway. And I think that should be the recommendation. That should be the suggestion that they give of, hey, if you're on insulin, talk to your endocrinologist about what needs to happen before your procedure. Not just stop taking it a week before. I was just very baffled by that advice. And 150 of you replied to my story and also agreed. So I just thought that was a very scary piece of advice to get, because luckily I've been living with diabetes for 10 years. I know when to advocate for myself. I know when to question things. However, if this was me 10 years ago when I was first put on insulin and just didn't really know how it affected my body, I would not even question a medical professional, and that would be the thing that would land me into DKA, or worse, seriously affect my health. So here's just your sign. Question everything. Always talk to your endocrinologist. These doctors and medical professionals, they're great. I have a great gastroenterologist and he's amazing. However, not everybody knows about, and it wasn't him that said this, it was the medical assistant, but not everybody knows about type 1 and really understands what you need. So when in doubt, go back to your endo. So that is our fun story for a little bit for the first piece of this podcast. But speaking of putting your health first and making the best decisions for you, last week I officially switched from the Omnipod 5 to the Tandem Mobi. This decision came after 10 years of being on the Omnipod. As soon as I was diagnosed with diabetes, I knew that I wanted to be on an insulin pump because for me, and trigger warning here, but taking the injections made me essentially hold back on eating. It made me avoid eating because I didn't want to take the injections. And I, being 19 years old, I knew that wasn't healthy. So back in my day, the most popular thing that I was reading about diabetes on was Tumblr. And I remember there was a few different blogs that I was following and they were on the Omnipod. And I thought this was great. It's the only tubeless pump on the market. So this is going to be my choice. There really was no other option. I didn't want any other option. I just knew that I wanted tubeless. I was a freshman in college and that to me was the most important thing. As long as I can get my insulin and as long as I can be discreet about it and it doesn't have to get in the way with the tubing, I'm good. So I went on the Omnipod Eros as soon as I could, which was 6 months after I was diagnosed. And I loved the Omnipod Eros. I got so many questions of what that thing is on my arm. I got so many questions about the PDM itself because it was just like this little PDM. I've gotten questions of if it's a camera, if it's a BlackBerry phone. I just got all of the crazy questions on it. But I loved it because it gave me freedom to take my insulin whenever I wanted. It very rarely didn't work, and it was just all around a really great piece of equipment. And last year, on December 31st, 2023, Omnipod decided to discontinue the Eros. I believe that that decision came from them now having the Omnipod Dash, which had the upgraded PDM and the same features as the Eros, and then they also had the Omnipod 5, which now has auto mode and is now talked to your Dexcom G6. And I decided from there, I didn't want to go on the Dash because I figure, okay, when the Omnipod links with the Dexcom G7, I'll be one step ahead. I was on the G7, not the G6, and I will just take it from there. It wasn't a priority for me to go on auto mode because, to be honest, I didn't love how, and I still don't love how the Omnipod algorithm works. If you're not on it, or as a summary, it takes your total daily dose from the previous pod and it applies that to your basal and then makes adjustments based off of where you'll be. I believe it's 60 minutes into the future and it changes your basals based on that. However, it doesn't allow you to utilize your pre-programmed basals and it doesn't give you corrections. So it'll up your basal if your blood sugar is high, but it won't give you a correction. So those things didn't really feel great to me. I had some clients who didn't have a great experience the first few weeks because the pod is learning you. And to me, it just wasn't, for somebody who's very hands-on in their management, who really has a really good indication of what their baselines are, starting over in that way and having the pod learn me, just it didn't feel like something that I wanted to go through. So being on auto mode wasn't really a priority for me. However, I was prepared for if in the future I wanted to make that decision to go on auto mode. I went on the Omnipod 5 and in short, I just didn't have a great experience on it, even though I was on manual mode. So I was relying completely on my own basals and my settings, and that part was completely fine. The issues that I had with it was coming down to the PDM itself and the connections. When I would be taking my boluses, there were almost every day, there was one that wouldn't go through to my pod. And I was getting this error of missed sensor value or something like that. And every time that I called Omnipod, they couldn't figure it out. Essentially, what it came down to was that even though I'm on manual mode, the pump was trying to connect to my CGM. And I never had connected to a CGM. I had never been in auto mode, so it didn't really make sense to us. But it was basically saying that it was missing the sensor value from my Dexcom. So that was number one. There were several instances where I wouldn't get my bolus because of that error, and my blood sugar would be about 300 after, because it doesn't alert you when you aren't getting that message or when you aren't getting that bolus. So it didn't alert you when you were getting that error. So I would hit confirm and then put my PDM down, and I didn't realize I didn't get any of my insulin. So there were several instances where I would eat my oatmeal in the morning, which is about 60 grams of carb meal, and then half an hour later be skyrocketing, and it sets you up for a really not great day. So that happened on several instances. And then also, I heard this is also common for other people, but I'm not sure why, because the pods, I never noticed a difference in the pods from the Aeros to the 5. So I'm not sure why this is, but I experienced a lot more pump leaks from the Omnipod 5. It was very rare that I ever had a leak with the Aeros, but with the 5, it would happen almost every pod on day 2. So that was also really frustrating. I was having a lot more really dramatic high blood sugars. I was having to change my pump a lot more. And all in all, it just got me into thinking about why I went on this insulin pump in the first place. And that was 10 years ago. As a 19-year-old person, I think I definitely made the best decision for me at the time. And I do think that it was the best decision for me for a lot of years. However, I am 29 years old now. I'm married, and maybe having a tubeless option isn't the most important part for me. But also, I'm 29, I'm married. I do want to start thinking about family planning. And when it comes to my management, I really just wanted a system that would best support my body. And I'm talking individually here, because what's best for my body will not be the best for everybody else's body. So I just started looking more at the tech on the market and, you know, what other options I could have. And that's where I stumbled upon the Tandem Mobi. And this just seemed like the best of both worlds. I really do love the thought of the Medtronic 780G algorithm. I think that they have a phenomenal algorithm. The target is as low as 100 milligrams per deciliter, and it's giving you auto corrections every 5 minutes and can detect when you either missed a bolus or didn't carb count correctly. And even my endo said their algorithm is phenomenal and exactly what she would want for pre-pregnancy for me. But however, the Medtronic just wasn't really on my radar because of the Guardian. So I would have to completely switch from the Dexcom to the Guardian, which didn't really sound appealing. And then also, although it's tubed, and although the Tandem is tubed too, I didn't really want to have the massive like PDM attached in that way. To me, the Tandem Mobi was the best of both worlds. It still had that Control IQ algorithm where Control IQ is utilizing your basal rates. It's giving you a correction every hour if you need it. It's suspending you for lows. And it just, to me, felt more like that happy medium. And the reason why I called my insurance and I asked them what my options were between the T-Slim and the Mobi. And basically, I could either switch to the T-Slim right away, but then if I want to upgrade to the Mobi, I would have had to pay $1,000 to break my warranty and switch, or I could just wait for the Tandem Mobi, and I'm very lucky to have had full coverage for that. So I decided just to wait it out until the Tandem Mobi came out and switch. And the reason why I was more appealed to the Tandem Mobi was because then I didn't have to have the interface with the screen attached to me all the time. The Mobi is a lot smaller, and so it's still tubed, but it's a lot smaller, and I can, you know, put that into my pocket really easily. It's very lightweight. It just is out of the way, out of sight, out of mind kind of thing. To me, that was just like one really great appeal, along with the 5-inch tubing that it has to offer. So I decided to wait until the Mobi and fully switched my endocrinologist on February 17th when it came out. And I know that it's February 17th because that was my diversary. It was just like the perfect 10-year diversary gift that they announced the US launch of this pump. She put in the orders, and then it took a few weeks for it to come in, and officially on March 12th, or March 14th, that's when I had my training and officially got set up on the Mobi. So all in all, it was a pretty quick process once it launched, and I was very excited to switch. Basically, in short, why I switched: your preferences can change, and I think that's definitely okay. The decision that supported you at one point may not be what best supports you in this current phase of your life. And it took me a long time to realize that, and a lot of frustration with the tech that I was using. Yeah, all in all, your preferences can change, your priorities can change, and sometimes what's best for you just often changes, and that is okay. Now, I have been on the Mobi for about 9 days, which I recognize is not a very long time. However, I thought it was an appropriate amount of time for me to make this podcast because I've gotten so many questions about my experience so far, and just different questions from you guys who are maybe in a similar position as me, who may want to switch or just contemplating or just interested in the device. Let's talk about it. First of all, like I mentioned, it's been about 9 days since I switched. So I pulled up my Dexcom reports for the past 9 days and compared them to the previous 9 days. And I'm just very impressed by the overall control that Control IQ has given me. And I'm going to talk about at the end of this episode what set me up for success when switching from manual mode to more of a closed loop system and why this transition was just really seamless for me. But when I'm comparing the two statistics for these date ranges, so the last 9 days compared to the previous 9 days, it's just, I don't want to say night and day, but it shows a lot of really great progress. So before, I was seeing my average glucose was around 121 milligrams per deciliter, and I have no, like, that to me feels really good. I was 80% time in range. However, I was 5% low and 2% very low. So that's 7% time in range, or time out of range, that was just setting me, but taking away from time that I could have spent in range. So I was just, I don't know exactly where my settings things were off, but whether it was from increased insulin sensitivity for my workouts, my overnights, I was just seeing a lot of interruptions in my day due to low blood sugars. So with that, my standard deviation was at 42 milligrams per deciliter. Again, this is, for my management, 42 was great because I eat higher variability, I eat higher carb. This was all, like, none of this data was anything that my endo was concerned about. However, it did take quite a bit of work and a lot of hands-on to get here. And again, like I mentioned, I felt really good about my settings. It was more hands-on of, like, okay, when do I need to suspend for certain things, etc. Now, looking at the past 9 days with Control IQ, my data has just improved really pretty significantly, but with less work going into it. So basically, how I view it is that Control IQ was able to take the management that I already had, the foundations that I already had, and be the cherry on top of making a management system for me that I could, you know, catch lows earlier and also add that extra boost of corrections or whatever I need when I'm running a little bit high, just catch those highs a little bit sooner. Because me as a human, if I have insulin on board, I'm going to wait a little bit longer to correct a high until I see where it plays out, where the system will increase my basal or it will do what it needs to do to catch that sooner. And in my comparison reports, which maybe I'll share them on Instagram if that's interesting to you, I don't want it to be triggering to anybody, but if it's interesting, I will share that and just kind of show you where it's catching things sooner. But for the past 9 days with Control IQ, my average glucose is 124. So that is slightly higher than before. So I went from 121 to 124, but nothing that even phases me at all, because my time in range went from that 80% in range to 86% time in range. With that, the amount that I'm low has gone down to 3% low. So I was sitting at around 5% before, and that is now down to 3%. And the very low went from 2% down to 1%. And with that, I just notice anecdotally that I'm treating a lot less for low blood sugars. I'm having a lot less go-go squeezes. I'm having a lot less juice boxes in the middle of the night because the system is just able to suspend me when it needs to and pick it back up as it needs to. So that to me was amazing. I went from 12% high to 9% high and then 1% very high to less than 1% very high. So overall, again, an increase of 6% time in range in only 9 days. And with that, again, my average went up slightly, but my standard deviation went down from 42 to 35. So if you're not really familiar with standard deviation, what this is telling me is that before, with an average of 121, I was spiking up to about 163 on average and going lower to about 70-ish, 75-ish, whereas now I'm going up from 124 to about 160, if my math is right there, and then only down to about 90 or 85. So all in all, just like a tighter range, and this is just with no changes to my settings. This is with no changes to my lifestyle or the amount of carbs that I'm eating. This is just specifically with the algorithm, just giving me that little bit of a boost. So to me, 100%, like the Control IQ algorithm has just been very positive for me. So with that, let's go into the pros and cons that I've seen from going from Omnipod to Tandem, because obviously every system will have its pros, every system will have its cons. Obviously for me, the Control IQ algorithm was a huge pro. That has been just a game changer for me. I'm utilizing sleep mode, I'm utilizing the exercise mode, which I was a little bit nervous about because that kind of keeps you on the higher end, but during my workouts I'm staying like lower 100s and it's been great. With that, a big pro that, again, just as an Omnipod girly for the past 10 years, I'm used to these huge sites. So like the Omnipod, it is a big site on your arm or on your leg or on your stomach, and it can get pretty bulky. I have experienced a lot of discomfort when I've had the pod on my arm, on my stomach, and I went to wear jeans, or on my arm and just feeling like it's really bulky. And what I really love about the Tandem is that the infusion sites themselves are so teeny tiny. They're so small, and it feels really good because like when I'm sleeping, it doesn't bother me. Just all in all, I've had no issues. I've only used my stomach as a site so far. I'm a little bit nervous about using my arm just with the tubing. But if you were on the Tandem and you've used your arm for a site, I would just love to see like how you do it and if it gets in the way. But with that, I know people are going to say, can't you use the adhesive sleeve that the Mobi comes with? Yes, I could. To be honest, just after so many years of being on the Omnipod with such a big site, I just don't even want to have that on me. I just don't want to have the adhesive on me. I just want to enjoy the smaller site. So for right now, I'm not really using it. I haven't tried it yet. So that is a huge pro. The other pro is that it has multiple tubing options. So between the infusion set, where you can choose between like TrueSteel and AutoSoft and all of the things, and then between their different tubing options, you can mix and match. I think it's in 30 different ways. So far, I'm on the AutoSoft, I think, site and the infusion set, and that has been great for me so far. I haven't had any bent cannulas or anything like that. And I've used the 5-inch tubing and the 23-inch tubing. Now, there are kind of pros and cons to both tubing so far. The 23-inch I really like because I can just stick my pump in my pocket or clip it to my pants. And like when I go to use the bathroom, maybe this is TMI, but I can just pull down my pants and it's not like tugging or anything. Whereas with the 5-inch tubing, that would be really great, I think, if you are using the adhesive sleeve. And I love it for just clipping on my pants and not having the extra tubing. However, when you do use the bathroom or get changed, you do need to clip it to, or I need to clip it to like my shirt so that it's not tugging or pulling or anything. So again, like pros and cons to both. I've only used the clip for the Mobi. So like I've either put it in my pocket or just clipped it onto my pants, and I love that, but I haven't tried the sleeve or anything. And then one last pro is that you're not forced to change your pump. If you were on the Omnipod that last day and those last 8 hours, how freaking annoying that beeping is. The beeping, the alerts, and then once it does expire, or once you reach the end of that final 8 hours, it screeches until you change it. And it basically does a force shutoff and does not allow you to continue taking insulin. So if you're in a pickle where you're out, or maybe you're sleeping, you're not getting insulin. And that never, I hated that. What I love about the Tandem is that you're not forced to change your pump. It tells me one time on the day that it expires, hey, this is day 3 of your, and reminder to change your pump. I hit okay, and then I put it on my mind that I need to do a site change later. That has been amazing because I can wait until I shower or until a time that works for me to do that site change. I have only done site changes on the 3-day mark, so I haven't tried to extend the site. I haven't really wanted to, but obviously that is an option. Another thing that I do is that you can leave the infusion set, your previous like site itself, in your stomach or in your body, and do an extra site change. So do the new site change, and then until that site, like until you're sure that the new site works, you can still switch back to the old site if you're in a pickle and like you're not getting good absorption. So that is also another really great positive. It's probably not recommended, but I've seen other people do that. Whereas like with the Omnipod, I will be honest, after doing a site change, I would always know that I wouldn't get great absorption for the first like 2 to 3 hours, and you just had to suck it up and have high blood sugars for that time. So having an option of switching the actual site to something that works until the other one is, I call it, warmed up, is very nice. So now let's talk about some cons, because again, with every system, there are pros and cons. I kind of mentioned this before, but like the tubing is new to me. It's different. It can be a little annoying. Like I have to be a little bit more self-aware when I am going to the bathroom or getting changed. I would say it's most annoying when I'm like getting changed, because I have to put my pump on like the counter or something and like make sure that I am next to something. Otherwise, you can't really, I don't know. Yeah. So that's like a little bit annoying. However, like it's not as annoying as I thought it would be. I thought it would get in the way so much, but it hasn't tugged on anything. It also is not in the way at all when I go to the gym, because if I'm wearing the longer tubing option, like right now I'm wearing the 23-inch, I just tuck in the tubing into my pants and it's fine. And then also like when I'm sleeping, it literally hasn't been an issue at all, because I just clip it onto my pants or put it in my pocket and it's literally fine. Like I don't know, it just hasn't been annoying. And then for anybody, I know this question will come up, but like tubing with intimacy, just unplug, just take your site out, pause your insulin. Which that kind of gets me into the next con of the alerts. So when you are unplugged, so if you shower, if you are doing your thing, after a certain amount of time, it will vibrate and beep at you until reminding you, hey, you're not getting insulin, which is annoying. Hey, I know, thank you for the reminder, but I'm good. So it will continue to remind you. So if you're in the shower, that can be annoying. If you are setting the mood, it kills the mood a little bit. So yeah, that's like a little bit annoying. And then also when Control IQ suspects a low, it also gives you an alert on your phone and your pump will vibrate. And so those alerts can get annoying, because if you don't acknowledge them, or if you don't like swipe out of them, it will keep reminding you. And maybe these are just like, this could be just a setting that I haven't figured out, but from what I have seen, the settings either allow you to have it like beeping at you or on vibrate, but doesn't allow you to like completely mute them. So there is like a silence button that you can click the button on the pump itself. I think it's 3 times and it's supposed to silence it. I don't know if I'm doing it wrong or something, but that hasn't worked for me. And then the last con that I could think of is the site change. It does take a bit longer, and maybe this is because I'm still new at it. I'm still going through the steps on my phone and everything, and I have to be more mindful, but site change takes me anywhere from like 10 to 15 minutes, and you need more like supplies. So if you are doing a site change on the go, it does require you to bring a few more things like your insulin, the cartridge, and the tubing. So that's a little bit annoying, whereas like the Omnipod, it was you just need to bring your insulin and the little like pod packet, and I could change that thing in 2 to 3 minutes. That's like probably one of the biggest cons, but right now I'm giving myself enough time to do that, just like after my shower or what have you. So with that, let's go through some frequently asked questions, because I know you're probably listening to this and you're like, you've got questions. So I got a lot of them on Instagram already. So we're going to go through a lot of the most popular. And if you still have questions, please message me on Instagram at needlesandspoons_, because I know that this is a lot to take in when you are like either making a decision or just looking at the new technology, and I'm still learning. So anything that I can pass along that I've learned so far, I'm happy to do. So number one question, is the Tandem Mobi tubeless? Probably by now you have heard it's not. This is one of the biggest misconceptions of people think that because it can be worn on body that it is tubeless. It is not tubeless. It comes with the 5-inch tubing option so that you can wear on body, and then the adhesive sleeve. So essentially like you could put the adhesive sleeve on your body, on your arm, on your stomach, whatever it is. That can be worn, I believe, for 3 days. And you would insert the pump itself, which is the Mobi. You can insert that into the sleeve and it would hold it there. So you don't have to worry about the tubing. So it is not tubeless. I don't think I will be really wearing it on body that much unless I'm like hiking or doing like a physical sport. But yeah. Not tubeless. What is the difference from the T-Slim? So the main difference is that the T-Slim has a digital screen on the like pump itself, whereas the Tandem Mobi, it looks like a black AirPod case. Like it's a tubing connected to like this little like AirPod case. Again, it looks, and that's where your insulin is stored. So the T-Slim, you are able to take the pump and give yourself boluses and adjust everything from the pump itself, whereas the Mobi, it is only controllable from your phone. So for me, that felt like a perk. That was good for me because I didn't want to be dependent on like the pump itself. I want to be able to be out of sight, out of mind. However, for a lot of people, this is a concern because they, in case your phone dies or gets lost, they don't want to lose that control. So let's kind of go into that question of like, how do you bolus? There is the Tandem Mobi app that you have on your phone, and this is where you do everything. You can see, this is actually another really great pro, because the Mobi app, it's very similar to the T-Connect app if you're using the T-Slim, but it has your blood sugar that connects to your Dexcom G6. You can see the different modes, like this is where you would switch between control IQ or manual mode or sleep mode or exercise mode. You can see your blood sugar graph and you can see all of your boluses. You can see your like what it's doing to your basal, and then you can bolus right in the app. And you can also see your time in range. So for the past 24 hours, I'm 98% in range, which is really cool to see. But you can bolus right from your phone. So the question becomes from there, what about when your phone dies? Or what about if something happens to your phone? How are you getting insulin? The thing there is that so I think the common misconception, and I had this too, was that the CGM readings are going to your phone and the app is like reading those readings and bringing it back to the pump. That is not accurate. The pump is talking directly to the Dexcom G6. So even if your phone dies or something happens, it doesn't need your phone to continue giving you those corrections or your basal rates. So it will continue talking to your Dexcom and making the appropriate adjustments that it needs. So how about for the bolus? So there is a button on the bottom of the pump that you can do what's called a quick bolus. And this is pre-programmed when you set your pump up, but essentially you can either do it by the amount of units or by a pre-programmed amount of carbs. So my trainer and I set mine up to a pre-programmed amount of carbohydrates. So in the instance that I don't have my phone and I had a meal in front of me, You can either pre-program it to 2 carbs, I think 5 carbs, or 10 carbs. We did the 10 carb option because I eat pretty carb heavy. So in the instance that I have a plate of pasta in front of me and I want a bolus for about 40 carbs, I would hit the quick bolus button and I would click that 4 times so that I'm getting 40 carbs worth of insulin based off of my carb ratio for that meal. So I'm not missing any insulin. The only setback that I can really see is that you wouldn't be able to see your Dexcom readings if you don't have the extra receiver with you. So I would then need to do a finger prick and double check where I'm at. However, I wouldn't be able to make any manual adjustments through the app. So you would still have options. You would still be getting your insulin as needed. You just wouldn't really be able to see and be hands-on of like what else is going on. It can be a drawback. However, I'm not really seeing a scenario where that would happen a lot. In the case that does happen, if somebody around you has an iPhone, you can download the Tandem Mobi app, log in, and connect. My husband is an Android user, so I wouldn't be able to use it with his. But in that instance, I think I would just probably go back to the Omnipod for a few days until I'm able to get a new phone or whatever. That brings me to, am I switching back to the Dexcom G6 and using Control IQ? If you've been following me for a long time, that I'm very pro like knowing your body on manual mode. So really understanding your body, like with no algorithm, what are your body's baseline needs for your basal rates, for your carb ratios, for your correction factors, but also when it comes down to your behaviors and your habits and the strategies that you use for different variability. That is what I've been doing for the past 10 years. And I just firmly believe like knowing your body is going to get you a lot further in the long run. So with that being said, am I on manual mode or am I switching to the Control IQ? Obviously, if you've been listening this far, that I'm using Control IQ. And like I mentioned earlier, Control IQ is just really that cherry on top. It is just doing really, I already did the work of setting the foundations and setting the habits and the baselines. All it's doing is being a little bit more proactive based on the algorithm. Like it's being a little bit more proactive and getting ahead of things, maybe a little bit quicker than I would have. Or if I'm distracted, it's able to pick up on things. Like I'm recording this podcast right now. I don't know what it's doing, but I trust that it's either increasing my basal, decreasing, doing what it needs to do while I get to do other things and I get to be a little bit less hands-on. It's really just that cherry on top. And like the main reason why I didn't do that with the Omnipod, because I could have switched back to the G-Sits and used auto mode on the Omnipod, I just didn't trust the algorithm, or I didn't find that it was an algorithm that would work for me. So it's almost like that whole like if he wanted to, he would thing. Like I was being a little bit stubborn with the Omnipod of saying I'm gonna stay on the G7 until it's compatible with it. But if I wanted to switch back to the G6 for that algorithm, I would have. But I didn't want to because it didn't seem like it would work best for me. But this, I trust Control IQ. I love that it goes off of your settings and I trust it. So I switch back to the G6. And then when it's compatible with the G7, I will switch back to the G7. Yeah, that is my TED talk there. But again, like I mentioned, understanding your body to the core is probably the best thing that you can do for your management. When you are removing the algorithm, when you are removing your CGM, removing your pump, removing the low carb diet, removing the intermittent fasting, what are the tools? Like, how are you understanding your body? Do you understand your body on that level? Do you understand how different components of macronutrients are affecting your blood sugar? Are you understanding how different intensities of exercise are affecting your blood sugar? Do you understand how your menstrual cycle is affecting your blood sugar? If we continue to utilize these band-aid effects, it's only going to get harder and harder to understand our body in the long run. And I believe that when you have that foundation of understanding your body to its core, one, the algorithms are going to work so much better for you. And two, you're going to trust your body. You're going to trust the algorithms. And you are going to have so much more confidence in your decision making throughout your life with diabetes. And we see this time and time again with all of our clients are like going through, they call it like a reset. Like I needed to just reset things. I needed to go back to the foundations and go through these things that my endocrinologist wasn't teaching me. When you are diagnosed with diabetes, you are just thrown into it. You are thrown into just start taking insulin, start counting your carbs, and you figure things out from there. But nobody's holding your hand and saying, this is how you test your basal. This is how you test all of your baselines. These are the strategies that you can use based on the different effects that food is having on you. Same thing for exercise and your menstrual cycle. Nobody is doing that for you. So that is exactly what we do inside of Keeping It 100. And that is what makes it so sustainable in the long run, because everything that you're learning, this is not a quick fix. This is not something that for 10 weeks, you are narrowing in on your management and you are feeling good. You are basically inside this program, setting yourself up with the foundations that you never got in your diagnosis. And that is setting you up for any phase of life that you're in. So you may notice that this year, if you're following me on social media, I am doing a lot of new things. I am switching my insulin pump. I am running a 10K. I'm doing a 40-mile hike with Connected in Motion. I am preparing my body for future family planning. And because I have all of these foundations in place already from the work and the curiosity that I had, it is setting me up for success for all of this extra variability that is coming. If this sounds like something that you are looking for and you are ready to truly understand your body to its core and rip off the band-aid, so to speak, and remove those band-aid effects and really know and understand your body, then I'm calling you in to apply for Keep You 100 because we are currently enrolling for our May cohort. So all it takes is 10 weeks and some really great coaches and a really great framework to walk you through. So this is your sign. The application is in the link. The link will be in the show notes. So you can apply there. Basically, you apply. We see if you're a good fit. From there, we hop on a call. This call is very thorough. I'm going to ask you all about your journey and essentially make sure that, again, this program is the best thing for you. And I will never lie to you. If this program is not the best thing for you, I will tell you. However, we make sure that this program is great for you. And then I walk you through every single detail of the program. I believe that transparency is key. I want you to leave with so much clarity on what you are getting out of this experience so that you can make an empowering decision. I believe that coaching should always be an empowering decision, and you can make sure that this is the next step in your diabetes journey. So step one is to go to the link in the show notes and just submit an application, and we go from there. And if you have any questions, just go ahead and send me a DM at needlesandspoons_.